With us now to discuss Senator Kerry's decision and other political news are our guest observers, columnists E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Georgetown University, and by phone, David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome to both of you once again.
Thank you.
First of all, John Kerry's announcement, his decision to accept the nomination, as David Wellner has described it. E.J., what do you make of it?
Well, Kerry was in a box, ironically, because he was in an unexpectedly strong position in fundraising. As expected, President Bush has raised a ton of money. That's a technical campaign finance term. But Kerry has also raised a ton of money. And he faced, as David described, he faced the prospect of not being able to spend any of this for 3 months. But in the end, the cost of having this story around was much too high. The broadcast networks were beating up on him. So were officials in the very Democratic city of Boston. I think what you saw in that statement is that when he talked about leveling the playing field against the Republicans, Kerry is going to try to make lemonade out of lemons by using this to bump up his fundraising even more, to say to his supporters, give me more money now because we need it more. And as David said, I think he is going to find ways to try to level the playing field. I would suspect he may go to the Federal Election Commission for a special ruling to say things have changed this year. You need to make sure that Bush and I are in the same place when it comes to spending money.
David Brooks, what does all this say to you?
Well, I'm struck by the fact that the most newsworthy thing John Kerry did all week is to announce that he's going to accept his nomination at his convention. He's done pretty well by being overshadowed by the war. I would say the only long-term effect of this is that it's important for every campaign to have a candidate who has enough political instincts to hear an idea and 5 seconds later say, that's really stupid. And I think Kerry didn't say that, which he really should have at the first get-go. So I think that's a weakness in the campaign. I can't imagine this sort of political consultant chatter will have any effect beyond that, though.
Actually, I don't think it was so stupid to think about it. It was a mistake to let it leak out of his campaign and create all of this controversy. It does mean we're going to have to go back and fix this presidential financing system after this election.
Well, let's move on to the president and the war, which has, as David Brooks just said, been dominating the news, certainly. The president addressed the Army War College on Monday night, and in that speech he tried to put the current and discouraging events in Iraq in the context of a bigger picture, a five-step plan, he spoke of, to an independent, self-governing Iraq.
I sent American troops to Iraq to defend our security, not to stay as an occupying power. I sent American troops to Iraq to make its people free, not to make them American. Iraqis will write their own history and find their own way. As they do, Iraqis can be certain. A free Iraq will always have a friend in the United States of America.
David Brooks, did the president in that speech actually reassure at least some Americans that there is a strategy, a plan at work here that will result in the U.S. someday leaving Iraq?
I can't imagine the great crescendo of news from Iraq that this little ping of a speech altered the landscape. I do think, though, he did point in the right direction, which is that the only way this thing is going to get better is if the Iraqis actually have some politics. They actually start organizing for themselves, campaigning, arguing about the Americans, arguing about what should be done, so they can sort of express themselves and express some national pride through politics and not through warfare. So I think the direction is right. The speeches just aren't going to do it, though.
David, excuse me, EJ?
Yes, I agree that events on the ground are going to have to do it. And also it was something of a blow that the networks decided that after the president said, well, this is one of six speeches and it's clearly partly in a political context, the major broadcast networks didn't show it. So it was a limited audience.
It was a cable audience. TV news event.
Exactly, which is different from the whole country gathering around their TV sets. I kept trying to I watched it with trying to think of independent voters and moderate Republicans, two groups the president is having a great deal of trouble with. I think they're mostly upset about, they're not upset about ideology. They're worried, do these guys know what they are doing? And I think the problem for the president with this speech is it really didn't lay out anything new. There were no new steps there. He didn't say anything like, well, this didn't work, so we're doing something else instead. It may have rallied the faithful, but his problem is the faithful is getting smaller and smaller.
David Brooks, I'm curious, does he still rally the faithful among the chattering classes? Or am I reading this right? Is the president getting an awfully rough ride from conservative commentators who are questioning precisely the competence of the administration?
I think we conservative chatterers represent the country. This I don't think you can underestimate the atmosphere of gloom, depression, a feeling that, you know, this is the Republican, one of the greatest blunders of Republican politics in decades. This is a big, big deal in Republican circles, and a lot of blame is being laid at the feet of the administration. So there, it's just, you can't underestimate the mood here.
E.J. Dionne, you have the last word.
I think David's right. I think that until this point, until the last 3 or 4 months, President Bush could count on unified support from Republicans, including the commentating class, on almost anything he did. The fact that he now has to rally the troops, he has to advertise on the Golf Channel, mm-hmm. not a place known for swing voters, says that he's losing ground in places where he shouldn't be in trouble. So I agree with David. This is a momentous time.
The phrase swing voters just has a different meaning on the Golf Channel.
I had to do the pun. I'm sorry.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, by the way, is the author of a new book, Stand Up, Fight Back. And David Brooks of The New York Times is also the author of a new book, On Paradise Drive. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.